decisions are usually taken on the hoof, without a fallback position if the worst happens. Nicholson was no cowboy. Aged 37, happily married with a 9-year-old daughter. He held a degree in philosophy and a master's in Soviet studies. He spoke fluent Russian. After service in Korea, he had worked in military intelligence on friendly territory in Frankfurt and Munich. At the time of his death, he had made more than 100 trips into hostile communist East Germany. He was one of a 14-strong espionage team, implausibly identified, perhaps mustached or barbowsed would be more appropriate, as a military liaison mission to the group of Soviet forces, Germany. The organization, following an earlier larger UK group known as Brixmas, emerged from the ashes of 1945. Its ostensible purpose in life was diplomatic, representing the wartime allies at commemorations of what the Russians styled the Great Patriotic War, in spite of their earlier alliance with Hitler and shared invasion of Poland in 1939. There were also mundane, bread-and-butter matters such as the treatment of deserters from east to west, or sometimes in the other direction. In practice, both British and U.S. missions, often traveling off-road in specially equipped vehicles, stalked the Red Army on maneuvers, logged the movement of Soviet supplies, and occasionally pulled off an espionage coup. On May Day 1981, for example, Captain Hugh MacLeod, a British officer, insinuated himself into Russia's latest tank, a T-64, using a forged turret key, and spent an hour photographing and drawing diagrams of the interior. The key was the work of British intelligence, based on a photograph of the tank turret taken at a Red Army Day parade in Moscow. The Soviet regiment that owned this beast was preoccupied with serious drinking on this, its public holiday. At one point in his exploration, MacLeod dropped his distinctive British Army flashlight. It clattered deep into the tank's interior. Haunted by the thought that the flashlight would be discovered during a routine maintenance check in Omsk, he spent another nightmarish half hour recovering the device as his sergeant impatiently kept watch. As MacLeod emerged, the sergeant wiped his boot marks from the hull of the T-64. Some of the mission's research methods were not for the squeamish. As each phase of an exercise ended, the Russians, being provident, peasant folk, converted secret instructions into toilet paper. The missions, suitably protected, came along afterward, dug up the debris, and carried it back to West Berlin, where one wing of their headquarters, formerly part of the 1936 Hitler Olympics building, memorable for Jesse Owens's victories, was used to sanitize the documents. The system, known to the British as Tamarisk operations, yielded vital intelligence. The trick was later reinvented by the Viet Cong. Neither the Russians nor the East German clients accepted that the West was playing within the rules of cricket or baseball or Ivan's equivalent code of ethics. Mission vehicles, identified by U.S. and U.K. symbols accidentally camouflaged by good German mud, were regularly driven off the road by heavy Soviet trucks, causing injury and death, events that were officially designated as accidents. The Russians often declared a formally open exercise area out of bounds, regardless of their own published advice, and arrested mission teams for 24 hours or more. Mission vehicles, unless they were locked, were ransacked. At other times, they were pursued at breakneck speed by the East German secret police, the Stasi. Some Western crews, in turn, took steps to ensure that Stasi vehicles crashed during such encounters, particularly after dark. One of the mission's favorite tricks was to disconnect brake stop lights on their vehicles, enhancing the likelihood of a Stasi road crash. If this was not a hot war, it got uncomfortably warm at times. In the surreal world of diplomacy, the mission crews, nursing their bruises, were sometimes hosted by their Russian adversaries at parties, where the toasts were to Churchill, Roosevelt, and Stalin, and the same film, The Sound of Music, was screened yet again. 4 years after Hugh MacLeod's illegal entry into a T-64, Nicholson went hunting the next generation of Moscow's armor, the 46th